This morning, as I was searching for the Lord to release what He wanted out of me, I was crying out, "What's next, Lord?" And a lot of times we don't understand what's next. We don't understand what God wants from us. And we have a tendency. And that tendency is to kind of put our head down and start being concerned about the circumstances that are around us, and they rule over us. Rather than letting the Lord and His Spirit rule over us, we end up trying to serve people, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. If I'm dependent on people to have a happy day, I'm going to be sometimes waiting for an awful long season before I can have one of those happy days. But if I'm depending on the Lord and totally relying on Him, there will be a change that will take place, because in Him I was created. In Him I was recreated when His Spirit began a work in me. In Him I live and I move and I have my being. In Him, I will be with eternity. I will be worshiping Him for eternity and in eternity. It's both. And I was reminded of a little thing that sometimes happens that we don't comprehend. And we've heard about Adam being in us. We've heard about the sin nature being part of the Adamic part of you and I. And how selfish we all are. Adam in me wants my way. But do I really want to focus on only what Adam wants in me? Or do I have an ability to go a little higher? My inner man, my spirit man, is the real me. And that spirit within me, filled with the Holy Spirit, can really transform me if I let Him. If I let Him. And I had a little bit of a vision. It was very like a little snapshot vision. It wasn't a long vision. It didn't last very long. But I saw Jesus, and in His perfection as He walked the earth, transforming people. He went from village to towns to village to cities to, I would say, little tiny places like Aldenville and so on, Three Rivers. And when He went from town to town, what did He do? He took care of the sick. He raised the dead. He set the captives free. Even in the synagogue, when He made His declaration that He was the chosen vessel to release what? What was He releasing? God has chosen me to release what? What was He releasing? Go ahead, Pete. Grace and mercy and freedom. And He wanted the people to be free from the bondage of all the legal stuff that had controlled all of the Jewish nation for years after year after year after year. And they had gotten so bound up in rules and regulations that they had no more freedom. And He says, "I've come to set the captives free. I've determined to declare to you the time of Jubilee." What was the time of Jubilee? They had a taste of it every 7 years. Every 7 years, all the debts were paid. Every 50 years, they even reclaimed their homeland or towns or farms or whatever. And I said, "Yes, Lord." He says, "The body of Christ is going to eventually experience the same thing." The body of Christ is going to be perfect. He will allow himself as a moving body of live Christians, full of life, full of love, full of mercy, to go out there in the highways, byways, marketplace, village towns, cities, whatever, to transform the people and to set the captives free. And I said, Lord, what's missing? And he reminded me of something my old pastor taught me years ago. He used to teach, what is a white funeral? What is a white funeral? Most people, when they have somebody to die, they go out and buy a black dress and a black suit to go to where? Grieve and moan and what else? I've been in it all week long. Went from one funeral to the other. One a 19-year-old and one a 29-year-old. Do I like the details? No. But what did I see that was common in both funerals? The amount of black. Black, gray, a little bit of white, not too much. Because after all, somebody might gossip. And what am I telling you this for? Because we are a byproduct of our traditions. And some of those traditions are binding us. And we need to change it. I can just imagine if I would have showed up at that funeral service, the committal service, with a white suit on. What would I have produced? Lots of gossip. Right? That's right. Because you see, if we don't step into line to perform for people, to make everybody happy, and that's not a bad thing now. St. Paul says to be all things to all people. In other words, don't shake the boat. Don't become somebody that's going to irritate everyone else just because you like your freedom. The bottom line was that God was trying to tell me something. He says, my body of believers is so accustomed to pleasing people, they forget to please me. They're not focused on me. They're focused on other people. And there's nothing wrong to be noticing other people. But when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, in spite of your tradition, obey. In spite of what you might have some flack about, and you know that the flack is going to come, before you open your mouth, you know it's going to happen. Do it anyway. That's obedience. Jesus is going to be coming alive in his people in order to set the captives free. Well, in order to set the captives free, you have to be an example to them. Amen? What is the example that he expects out of us is he wants us to be perfect. Like our Heavenly Father is perfect. Amen? I want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 22. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Wow. Verse 21 says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to the sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul, or bishop of your soul, bishop of your flesh, mind, will, and emotions. Who is your bishop? Jesus. Who's the overseer of your soul? Jesus. By his Spirit, he'll transform you. Now you say, well, I know Bishop so-and-so, and I know this overseer, and I know that overseer. Yes, there are men that are called all those things. And God definitely instituted some of that. But the bottom line that the scripture says is return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Return. Why? Because we go back to what we want. What do we go back to? We go back to what? Comfort zones. Don't disturb the church. Don't disturb the traditions. Don't disturb the black funeral. Is that the right message? What was the difference between a black funeral and a white funeral? So, white funeral celebrates life. A white funeral celebrates all the qualities in a person. A black funeral is the hopelessness that they're dead and never will return. When you look at someone that leaves their body, how many have seen the movie Ghost? Okay. That movie has more truth in it than a lot of Christian churches. I've said that before. Am I advertising the occult? No. But I am telling you that Whoopi Goldberg plays a person that's in the occult, and she's able to hear in the realm of the spirit. Well, she, in that movie, is a vessel that has a gift from God to hear in the realm of the Spirit. You are to have an ear to hear the Holy Spirit rather than a demon spirit. Where am I going with it? I'm trying to let you know that there are both sides that will grow together. The scripture says the wheat and the tares will grow together. And he will take out the tares with his angels. You have a job to do. Grow up, mature, and bow. Be humble before God. Be humble and realize that you've got a job to do to really focus on what God wants you and I to do in our spirit, and that is to become like Jesus Christ. And I can't do it on my own. I can only trust him to perform it in me. And if I trust him to perform in me, he will do it. Amen? Okay. Chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. Notice again, a lamb without what? He was chosen before creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself, now that you have what? Yeah. So there's a purification going on in you as you allow the perfection of Christ to come alive in you. That doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes. But it will mean that if you submit yourself to him, he will perfect that which concerns him inside of you. Now, here are some of the verses that may help you, showing you Christ's sinlessness. Isaiah 53:9 says, "He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." Notice again, no deception. Luke 23:41 says the same thing. John 8:46, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me?" Why? Because they could not digest what he was giving them. John 8:46. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Hebrews 1:9 guarantees and confirms it. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." So in other words, the Lord is letting you and I know that the body of Christ is going to be tempted in every way, yet there'll be a day where we'll be able to say, not going there, and bring control. And it'll be done by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Now you say, well, what is all this perfection for? And what does it look like? What's the solution? Here's some of the essential elements that you need for perfection. And you might find this pretty kind of neat, I think, anyway. The first one is benevolence. The next one is love. Good works. Control of the tongue. Obedience. All these things are needed. And I can give you the scriptures for them. So, benevolence is in Matthew 19:21. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, so go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." Why? Because this young man wanted to follow him, and he didn't want to lose his stature. Love, Colossians 3:14. "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." In other words, love is greater than all these other attributes. Good works. James 2:22. "You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did." That was actually Abraham. He did what he was impressed to do inside his spirit. And as he performed that duty, God honored it and said, yes. Control of the tongue. James chapter 3, verse 2. "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man or woman, able to keep his whole body in check." That one really is an ouch. Because you know what? We're so usually responding to our circumstances and our emotions and how we feel about things and how we want to defend ourselves. And the Lord did not do those things. He waited for the Father. I remember one particular scenario where there were a lady caught in the act of some adultery of some type. Okay? And the young lady is thrown in front of him, and he kneels down and he begins to kind of make signals or stuff in the sand. And I believe he was waiting for the Father to let him know what to do. Now, you can believe whatever you want about that particular time slot. But I do know this. As he was waiting, he began to write in the sand. My understanding is that he was just letting those know. What about these other sins? Is adultery the only sin? How about lying and deceit, stealing, deception, all kinds of things? And he finally said, "The one who has no sin, throw the first stone." And they all walked away, starting with the oldest person. So the older you get, the more you begin to see yourself and how much you need Christ Jesus. The older you get to see your mouth going in the wrong direction. Come on, you older folks. Yeah, you notice it more. When you're younger, you don't notice it as much. But the older I get, so, oh my God, there my mouth went again. And it was my mouth, not his mouth. It was not my anointed mouth. It was the mouth of the flesh. It was the response of the flesh that was coming out of me. And boy, I didn't like it. And I had to change it. And that's a white funeral too. To be able to go back to the person and say, I did it wrong. I said it wrong. I judged you. I condemned you. I disagreed with you, but I was wrong. You have your own opinion. Go ahead. Do what you want. You've already made the decision. Who am I to tell you what to do? Are you God? No, you're not God. I'm not God. So all this control stuff, where does it come from? It comes from hell and comes from selfishness. It comes from me wanting what I want yesterday. Yes. And that's what we need to die to. That's what we need to let go of. Obedience, 1 John 2:5. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. God's love, not yours. That is how we know we are in him. 1 John 4:12 confirms it. You know, God's love in me will allow me to love the most deceived person. God's love in me will allow me to love the one that is just full of cancer, dying, and the stench of that stuff is all over them. And I can still bend down and give them a hug. I remember this one particular individual that had come to me years back. And this person had a real problem about cleanliness. I mean, it was a dramatic situation. And I said to the Lord, you know, every time this person comes to the church, I want to run the other way. I have a problem with BO. I really do. My nose just literally wants to shut down. And Lord, I know that you died for him just like you died for me. And do you know God, in his marvelous, marvelous gift of mercy, filled the room with the smell of roses when he walked in. I was drunk in the stuff. I literally was drunk in the spirit. I was just overwhelmed. And as he extended his hands out to me, I went over and I gave him a hug, and you know what? There was no smell of BO. God miraculously can fill you with such an awareness of his love for the unlovely. Because his mercy was unlovely. The smell was real. It wasn't make-believe. And what I'm trying to tell you is, trust him, because his love for that person was greater than my selfishness, my little comfort zone. How many know we have a comfort zone? Okay, we all have a comfort zone. Don't shake my tree, Lord. Please, please, make them all behave so I can have a great day. Yes? The angels are just moving a few things upstairs. They're probably preparing for a great celebration, and that's perfectly okay. So would you close your eyes, please? Would you put your hand over your heart? Say, Lord Jesus, all these ideas about being perfect, it's wonderful, but I can't do it. I don't know how. So I would ask that you would release oodles and oodles of grace to me so that I can become what you've called me to be. Perfect in every way, loving everybody, being benevolent, and to give what I'm supposed to give, to be filled with good works, to control my tongue. Lord, that's a biggie. Control me and give me the courage to obey. When you tell me to do something, give me the grace to carry it out. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. You got